Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Ummah Voices Advancement for Allah's Sake series, where we explore the contributions Muslims made to science, mathematics, medicine, education, and human civilization. Today we are exploring the life of a man whose instruments and surgical techniques helped transform the practice of medicine, Abu al-Qasim Khalaf ibn al-Abbas al-Zuhrawi. Known in Latin writings as Albucasis, al-Zuhrawi lived near Cordoba in Muslim Andalus during the 10th and early 11th centuries. He devoted his life to medicine and is now widely described as the father of operative surgery. His greatest written achievement was Kitab al-Tasrif, an extensive medical encyclopedia covering numerous areas of treatment. Its final surgical section did something especially important. It explained procedures in detail and included illustrations of the instruments required to perform them. Al-Zuhrawi described more than 200 surgical tools, including probes, knives, hooks, scissors, forceps, and instruments used in obstetrics, dentistry, and the treatment of urinary stones. These illustrations were not merely decorative. They were intended to teach physicians what the instruments should look like, how they should be made, and how they should be used. He described the ligation of bleeding vessels and the use of catgut for internal sutures. He wrote about fractures, dislocations, head injuries, spinal conditions, and pediatric abnormalities. His work was translated into Latin, circulated through Europe, and remained influential for centuries. Yet many European histories identify the 16th century French surgeon Ambroise Paré as the father of modern surgery. Paré deserves recognition for genuine developments in battlefield medicine and the treatment of wounds, but Paré lived approximately 5 centuries after al-Zuhrawi. Historical studies note that al-Zuhrawi had already described techniques involving sutures and the ligation of bleeding vessels long before Paré's career. The issue is not replacing one simplistic hero story with another. Medicine is cumulative. Physicians from different civilizations studied, corrected, and expanded the work of those before them. The problem arises when European advancement is presented as though it emerged in isolation. While the Arabic medical works translated, studied, and used in Europe are reduced to a footnote. Al-Zuhrawi's legacy also teaches us something essential about the Islamic understanding of medicine. For the Muslim physician, the human body is not merely biological material. It is a creation of Allah. The patient is not merely a source of revenue, a numbered file, or an opportunity to test an experimental product. The patient is a human being whose life, dignity, and suffering matter before Allah. Surgery requires courage, but it also requires humility. A surgeon holds instruments capable of healing or harming. Skill without taqwa can become dangerous. Knowledge without accountability can turn the patient into an object. That is why Muslim medical advancement cannot be separated from Islamic character. The physician must be truthful about risks. He must recognize the limits of his knowledge. He must protect confidentiality, avoid unnecessary harm, and understand that the result ultimately rests with Allah. The surgeon performs the procedure, but Allah is Al-Shafi, the one who grants healing. Allah relates in Surah Al-Ma'idah that whoever saves a life, it is as though he has saved all mankind. The immediate verse relates a command given to the children of Israel, but the enormous value it places upon protecting human life remains unmistakable. Al-Zuhrawi's work was not simply a collection of inventions. It was an effort to preserve practical knowledge so that physicians he would never meet could treat patients he would never see. That is beneficial knowledge. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah helps the servant as long as the servant helps his brother. Imagine the reward of developing a method that continues helping patients centuries after your death. Imagine documenting it clearly, not hiding it so that only you can profit, but teaching it so that others can save lives. Here we see the contrast between Islamic aqidah and the dominant commercial model of medicine. Under capitalism, medical knowledge can become intellectual property held behind corporate walls. treatment can be directed towards those who produce the greatest return. Research may follow the largest market rather than the greatest human need. Islam permits physicians to earn a livelihood and companies to be compensated for legitimate work. But profit cannot determine whose life is valuable. It cannot justify concealment, exploitation, or denying essential treatment to those who cannot generate revenue. The Muslim does not ask only, "Can this invention be patented?" He asks, "Will this relieve suffering? Will it protect life? Will Allah be pleased with how I use it?" Al-Zahrawi reminds our doctors, nurses, researchers, and students that technical excellence is an Islamic responsibility. Good intentions do not excuse incompetence, and professional skill does not excuse arrogance. Our Ummah needs medical professionals who combine knowledge with mercy, precision with honesty, and advancement with obedience to Allah. May Allah make the knowledge we gain a means of healing, not exploitation, service, not pride, and reward in the hereafter, not merely recognition in this world. Until next time, this has been Ummah Voices Advancement for Allah's sake. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.